Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DinFos Way, a Department of Defense podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DinFos. Joining us today is Master Chief Charlie Todfest, a United States Coast Guard public affairs professional who holds the distinction of being the Coast Guard's only enlisted E-9 in her rank. Today she's here to talk with us about the uniqueness of the Coast Guard's public affairs mission, their goals for communicators serving in the fleet, and her suggestions for young professionals striving to be the best in their field. Master Chief, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's so good to see you. I love my Coast Guard students. I have two of them right now who are amazing. And I think it's really cool what the Coast Guard does. I don't think enough people know kind of the uniqueness of your mission. So I'm really happy that you're here to talk with us about it today.
Well, I'm glad that I got the invite over here to be able to talk about the Coast Guard public affairs missions today. So thank you so much.
100%. The first question really is just, can you tell us a little bit about your career and what brought you here today?
Of course. I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. So I guess we'll start at the beginning.
There
Why
you go.
Not?
It's a good place.
Yeah, let's start at the beginning. I actually joined the Coast Guard very late in life. One would say I'd be like the grandmother of boot camp. I actually joined when I was 27 years old. I already had a bachelor's degree in public affairs.
Wow.
From Oklahoma State University.
Very cool.
Go Cowboys, not the Sooners. And I had two children, married at the time. I had two boys. They were, how old were they? I think they were like 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to boot camp. So
very cool.
Being in that public affairs world, though, I kind of wanted something different at that stage in my life. I'm like, you know what? He was an aviator in the Coast Guard. I'm like, I need to be able to have a job that be able to climb the ranks, mm-hmm. but also transfers easily wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point in time in the Coast Guard, they did AET or Avionics Electrical Technician Guaranteed A School.
Oh,
I'm like, that's something different. Why don't I try to do that? So right out of boot camp, I went to Elizabeth City, North Carolina, where he was stationed at, and I went to A School there. Well, during A School, I started getting migraines very consistently, which in the aviation world is a disqualifying factor. And these migraines would knock me out on my tush. So I got disqualified from aviation, but the flight surgeon was like, hey, you know what? You can either A, go up for a medical board, but you're more than likely going to get kicked out of the Coast Guard, or you can change rates. I'm like, how about I change rates? I've only been in for like a year and a half. I don't want to finish my career yet. So at that point in time, I switched over to public affairs. 14-month wait to get to DINFOS. That was good. During that time while I was on the waiting list to attend DINFOS, I went from Elizabeth City all the way to Kodiak, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Worked in Air Station Supply. That's kind of where they put the broken people a little bit. But it was good because I was able to get to know a lot of the aviators across the air station. And Air Station Kodiak has a huge base, a lot of maintainers, a lot of flyers. We have the C-130s up there, the 60s and the 65s at that point in time. Go to DINFOS, graduate, come back to Kodiak, Alaska, started working at Public Affairs Detachment Kodiak. Was there for a few years, made E5. I chose to go into recruiting. So I did recruiting special assignments, went to Chesapeake, Virginia. Did that for about 5 years, made E6 while I was there. And then went back to Kodiak, Alaska as the shop supervisor there.
They loved you there.
They did. No one wants to go to Alaska. I don't know why.
It's so cool. It's so fascinating to me. I've always wanted to go. I love those Alaska shows, so I think that's really neat.
Yeah, it was interesting. A lot of things can happen up there. Did 2 years there as the E6, made E7, went to Miami, Florida as the...
What a difference.
Vast difference. Did 3 years there, made E8 out of Miami, went to Alameda, California as the Pacific Area Assistant Public Affairs Officer. And then 2 years, made E9, and now I'm at headquarters as the Rating Force Master Chief.
That's really cool.
So here I am.
So that's a very fast rise to Master Chief. That's really great.
Yes, I've been in for 18 and a half years now.
Oh, man, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what it was like to spend so much time in Alaska. You know, that for me is really fascinating. What kind of mission do you guys do up there?
Well, it's everything. I mean, we do search and rescue. We do fisheries. We do law enforcement. So no matter where the Coast Guard is, we do pretty much the same missions. And for public affairs, we need to cover everything. The majority of the time in Kodiak was where I was at. It's an island. So if people don't know where Kodiak, Alaska is. I definitely look it up on the map. The only way to get there is a ferry, a 12-hour ferry ride out of Homer, Alaska, or a flight from Anchorage down to Kodiak. But the weather there can be very interesting, especially in the fall and winter, to the point where planes may not land and planes may not take off. So if you're expected to get on a commercial flight to go on a vacation or medical or whatever, you might not be going. So it's just one of those things you have to deal with. But we dealt with a lot of search and rescue cases, especially with the Bering Sea fishermen and the fishermen up in the Gulf of Alaska. We dealt with a lot of hiker search and rescue cases. We dealt with mostly it was just a lot of SAR search and rescue. So we dealt with that. And then, of course, law enforcement, you know, making sure that the fishing vessels were up to code, up to speed, making sure that they're safe. And a lot of working with the governmental affairs, the tribal affairs as well.
That's really neat. So that leads me directly into talking about why we're here, which is that that's such a unique thing and such an interesting public affairs challenge, I would imagine. What is it about the Coast Guard's mission that, that differentiates it from the other services and makes your PA mission so unique?
For the Coast Guard and for public affairs, I mean, as public affairs operators or public affairs specialists, however you want to call us, we're almost like the jack of all trades. Because I think whenever, like, you're in the DOD world, you might be specialized in taking photos or doing video or writing. But for Coast Guard, we do everything. So right out of DINFOS, we go to where we're stationed at, and you're going to learn how to do public affairs the Coast Guard way. You learn it the DINFOS way, which is great. It lays a foundation for all of those public affairs specialists. But when you get there, you need to learn how to do things the Coast Guard way. And it's, you're an E4. Straight out of DINFOS, and you're writing press releases for a fishing vessel that's going down or people that we've rescued, and you're taking the media calls, and then the next day you're working up a press briefing to be able to have the air station, you know, pilots talk to the media about the search and rescue case, or you're answering the phone calls and whatever. So we're doing a variety of jobs in order to cover the Coast Guard public affairs missions.
At a really young enlisted rate, too.
Yes.
I know I have a former student who is a Coast Guard E5 who is running the Coast Guard's official social media. If they post anything, it's him approving it.
That's correct.
And that's wild to me, you know, that they have such responsibility at such a young age. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage, do you think, for being a public affairs professional?
I think it could be an advantage. I mean, the way that the public affairs is going, it feels like, you know, we need that youth in order to keep up with all the trends where things are happening, especially in social media, especially with AI. You know, I think AI is going to definitely kind of shape how public affairs goes and how it works. It's still very new to me, so I still have a lot of learning to do in that aspect. And I don't even know if DINFOS here is having courses relating to
soon
AI. So that's something that we need to be cognizant of. And I think that the youth that's coming into Coast Guard Public Affairs are going to have an advantage of that because they've, you know, me, I was born in 1979. So it's like I'm that
too.
Oregon Trail generation or that Gen X and like a little bit of millennial. You know, we grew up probably hearing the dial tone for the modem and connecting that way.
Yes.
But when you're 18 now, that's all you've known is social media or your phone and the laptop. And I think that's definitely going to be an advantage of having new creative ways to do public affairs, whether it's the DOD or whether it's the Coast Guard.
Can you share an example of a unique challenge that you faced as a young public affairs professional and something that was either challenging or something that was really special and different or something that was interesting for the first time?
As a young professional, gosh, I thought about this question a lot last night and this morning, so you might have to edit this one down. A unique challenge I think that we face is just the lack of personnel that we have in the Coast Guard Public Affairs. We're sitting at around 85 enlisted public affairs professionals across the U.S. Coast Guard.
And how many people are in the Coast Guard approximately?
Like 45,000 roughly.
Wow.
So if you think about it, like when I was in Miami, that's considered District 7 for the Coast Guard. So that covered the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, all the way out to the Bahamas, right?
My goodness.
And so at my district office in Miami, there was myself as the chief, and I had I had an E5 and an E4. And then the PAO, he was an O4. Then we had an office in Tampa, E6, E4, and then an office up in Jacksonville, E6, E4. So that's, what, 7 people roughly to cover that vast geographical area. I mean, same way with Alaska, too. Mm-hmm. Think of Alaska. Alaska was massive. There was 2 in Kodiak, 2 public affairs people in Anchorage, and then a chief and then E5 in Juneau, which is where the district office was. Huge, massive. And, like, how are we supposed to do everything that the Coast Guard needs us to do? How are we supposed to uphold the commander's intents with the lack of personnel? So when you say, what's a creative solution to this? That's a tough one, because it's hard to be able to do our job the way that we need to do it with the personnel issues that we have. But it's across the boards. It's across the DOD. It's across the Coast Guard. So having a creative solution to that, it's challenging.
And it's finding, I guess, the way to get the most out of your people by giving them the best skills, first of all, and the best training that they can receive, and then depending upon them to do their job to the best of their own abilities, right? I would imagine there's a lot of independence when it comes to your role in the Coast Guard.
Oh, there is. Because if you think about it, like, normally someone joins the Coast Guard or the military 18, 19 years old, right out of high school, and you're going to your advanced training here at DINFOS, you could be 21 years old, and you're answering media calls, media questions about very large, high-profile cases. For instance, an example was I was in Kodiak, Alaska, and this was one of the bigger cases that we had. It was, gosh, I can't think of, I'm trying to think of what year that was. It might be 2010, 2011. We had a retired civilian working at Kodiak, and he had actually shot and killed 2 people, another retiring employee and then an active duty Coast Guard person. I was an E5 at the time. I mean, I was on duty being able to take the calls. And so even though I was like in my lower 30s, but someone, you know, 10 years younger than me, it would have been the same situation. Sure. And that's just hard. It's just very challenging. And you have to have the mental fortitude. You have to have the ability to think on your feet and be able to, you know, just kind of answer appropriately. But that's where that training comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's where it starts, right here at DINFOS.
So you've gone from, you know, being a young professional to now your service is only E9 in this rate. And what is kind of your role now, and how do you work towards shaping the future of your career field?
Well, this is definitely an interesting job because I'm more of a workforce manager. So my role is to maintain and take care of the entire Coast Guard rating for public affairs across the board. Make sure that people are getting the necessary trainings that they need to do, make sure that the health of the rating is going well, make sure that they are, you know, that each shop is the leadership, getting the leadership that they deserve and that they need, and make sure that they're coming here back to DINFOS for the additional training that is required for them to make the next advanced pay grade. Also trying to advocate for our rating in public affairs to Coast Guard and to other agencies. And for instance, one of the higher wins that we've had recently is there's going to be another E9 public affairs specialist. And I'm very pleased to have that. We were successful at headquarters to get that accomplished. It's a great win for our rating. And that person is going to be the rating knowledge manager for the Coast Guard. So he or she will be in charge of all of, like, the training, the competencies, making sure that our public affairs professionals are getting what they need, especially in this trending world that we're in.
That's a huge win.
It's great.
Have the sort of the Coast Guard's goals and objectives changed over time with all of these changes that you're talking about and technology and AI and other things, or sort of have your goals and objectives as PA professionals always remain the same?
Well, I think that our primary goals and objectives has remained the same because our mission sets are still the same. Mm-hmm. They're just growing. And so what that means is we just need to be able to cover more and more and more, especially with social media now. And that's the biggest challenge, is being able to take the commandant's or the commander's priorities and intent and make sure that those are coming across in a nice way that they're easily digestible by the community, by senators, by the public, and that the message is getting across of who we are, what we need. This is what you need to know about the Coast Guard.
I'm glad that you said that, because obviously building your social media audience and reaching out to people on social media is a huge goal for all of the services right now, but they don't talk about it very much or spend enough time on it, I think. And to hear you say that it's a goal and objective of the Coast Guard is great. That's trending towards obviously where we need to be and what we're doing. Can you talk a little bit more about your social media mission with the Coast Guard and when what you guys are doing it out there in the digital space?
Well, for social media, of course, we have only specific platforms that we can use, Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube. So for our goals and objectives, it's just taking the commander's priorities and turning those into something creative so that way we can get more likes, more reaches, and which could hopefully increase our recruiting as well, because we're at a vast shortage for recruiting, and that's a big priority for us right now. Being able to have creative videos, because I think videos are definitely more along the lines of what people want to digest, especially those short videos, and showcasing that into the world, into the public, that this is what the Coast Guard missions are.
Yeah, the Coast Guard does a really great job with your videos, just like the Marine Corps, probably all the services. You guys are the two who are the most creative and effective in the digital space, I think. And I'm glad to see that it's trending that way. Are there any ways that you guys measure the effectiveness of your reach in that way? Like, are you specifically trying to get more likes? Are you reaching out for more subscribers to your content? Or sort of what are your goals and digital metrics that you're looking at?
Well, I think our digital world is definitely going through some kind of an overhaul over at the headquarters where we're at. And they are using something called Sprout Social. I haven't touched into that yet, so I'm not really sure how that works. But we are definitely looking into new and creative ways to see what we're trying to get from the people. You know, for like YouTube, you know, how do you measure? You get the likes, but does that mean when they watch this content, that person's going to go to the recruiting office to try to join the Coast Guard? That's a really hard one to measure, I think. So being able to determine what the likes are, where they're coming from, then you can kind of tailor your messages to what is coming across that way.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That is super and a super effective way to do it. You talked a little bit about DINFOS and how important it is for your service members to get that initial training. What is different about the ongoing training and professional development that the Coast Guard receives from the other services?
Wait, say that again.
You guys, yes, I will have you.
Thank you.
You get obviously you guys, everyone in the Coast Guard and any service members who come through here, I believe, get a really great professional background through the Defense Information School. But then you mentioned that the Coast Guard has obviously a very unique mission, and they have some ongoing training that you get and professional development that comes after DINFOS. Kind of, what is the difference there between what the Coast Guard does with your ongoing training and maybe how other services do it? Or even if you just want to tell me what your goals are with that ongoing training.
Okay. So once someone graduates from the Coast Guard, graduates from DINFOS, they go straight out into the fleet. And we're unique also, too, because I don't think a lot of people understand this. Our Coast Guard members that are graduating from boot camp go straight into the fleet. So they already have that Coast Guard knowledge coming here to DINFOS. So they've been there maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. It just kind of depends on how long the wait is to get here to DINFOS. Interesting fact, Coast Guard only gets 12 seats per fiscal year for A school, for the initial training, for MCF. So very, very tiny population here. So if you see a blue suitor running around DINFOS, make sure you say, hello, Coastie. I'm glad to see you here.
I always do.
Perfect. So once they graduate DINFOS, they're going straight into that world of, like, say, the district or a public affairs detachment. And right away, they're learning how to do the Coast Guard job. They're taking those phone calls. So that other training that I'm talking about is right there at that office. And that's kind of like the leading petty officer, the leading E6, or the chief's responsibility is to manage the training environment. In Miami, we would hold every week, we would do news release drills, we would do caption drills, making sure that they're staying proficient on that. I would have the E5s or the E4s, like, what topic do you want us to learn this in the couple of weeks? Find something and teach us about it, whether it's video editing, photography, a new way to do something. But then, of course, we also have they are required to come back here to DINFOS for the additional C schools is what we call them. So those, some of those are required in order to advance to the next pay grade. So they're still getting like the initial training here at DINFOS. They go out to the field, get the Coast Guard training, which we hound on. We use the DINFOS information, and then they come back here for more training as well.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
As you look at, you know, we talked a little bit about how things are changing and the future of the career field is changing. As you look ahead, what advice do you have for young professionals or communicators that really want to strive to be the best in their field and grow and change in this environment that we live in today?
I think the best thing that they can do is just stay on top of the trends that are happening, especially in the social media world. See what is popular. How can you take those key phrases, those key terms, and translate that into some content for your mission set, wherever you're located at? Also, networking is huge. You need to be able to network. So when people are here at DINFOS, it's great that we're a joint school because, you know, you might have contacts that you have for your entire career mm-hmm. in the military. Like, oh, hey, Army person, you know, what's going on in your world over there? I've got this idea. What's best practices? So being able to network will definitely translate over from here at DINFOS out into the field, because as a public affairs specialist out into the field for the Coast Guard, you need to be able to network fantastic, especially at the junior level, the E4, E5 level, going out, meeting the Coast Guard station employees and saying, hey, we've got this cool thing we need to do, or we've got media coming in, here's what we need to talk about. Because you got to brief them and make sure that they're being able to talk about the missions and the skill sets and knowing what to say.
Are there any common pitfalls that you see that maybe people fall into, or common mistakes that you see out there in the field that we could avoid students to tell them to avoid?
They need to slow down, just to slow down. Sometimes if you've got, let's say, your chief, your E7, your O3 or whoever your public affairs officer is, they're trying to rush you to do something, it's always good to just to slow it down and make sure that you're putting out the information that's accurate, especially in social media. I've seen some instances where Coast Guard professionals have popped off like a quick update to a search and rescue case on, used to be Twitter, now X, and they didn't proofread it. And there was something misspelled, or the autocorrect put a completely wrong word in there. And they were like, uh-oh, I need to go back and fix that. So just slow it down. I think one of the best advices I got from my DINFOS instructor here during MCF, your news release, read it backwards.
That's
a good
tip. If
you read it backwards, which is time consuming, but if you read that backwards, you will catch a lot of the misspelled words, the punctuation words. And I did that when I was the chief in Miami. I did that for a few of my junior personnel because they were having a hard time with writing. I was like, read it backwards and read it out loud.
And they actually
caught it too.
The read it out loud thing is, I definitely tell every student that, to read everything they do out loud.
Yeah.
It seems to correct most of the errors.
Yeah. Even if you're just whispering over there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
You know, as we talk about the kind of skills that students develop here and then they develop when they go out into the field, is there any one particular skill that you think is most important or something that they should definitely focus on, you know, besides slowing down? But, you know, is there any one advanced skill or one thing you think they need to be concentrating more on or working harder on?
Networking, 100%.
Networking, yeah.
I really do believe that. I think, like, the photography, the videography, editing, the writing, those can be taught easily. Networking, I think, is a little bit of a challenge to teach someone. I'm a little bit more of an introvert. It might not come across that way, but I actually am. I love to stay home. I like to just kind of hide out. And maybe it's just getting more that way as I age. But being able to network effectively will do a person wonders, especially just communicating, being able to effectively communicate.
And, you know, it's again, you mentioned it earlier, but it's very interesting that the Coast Guard public affairs rate has less than 100 service members in it. So obviously, I would imagine that you all know each other.
We do.
And, you know, I would, again, networking has to be a huge part of your job because you have such a limited amount of people to depend on. So that is definitely a useful tip because, you know, all of our rates are very small. When I was a Navy journalist, there were 400 people in our whole rate. And obviously, the MC rate has grown more. But, you know, that's not a lot of people. So, yeah, networking, I think, is a really valuable skill. So I'm glad you brought that up. Can we talk a little bit about your social media content? I know we mentioned it once or twice, but it's really effective. It's interesting. It it's action oriented, a lot of the stuff that you guys do. What is it that you look for when you're telling people how to create posts, and what do you think is most effective in the stuff that you're doing?
Well, for me, when I was training and out there, you know, being the mentor to a group of public affairs specialists, I would tell them, you know, you need to make it short, you need to make it punchy, but you also need to make it creative as well. You know, people's times, you know, their attention span is very short anymore. So you need to have something that's like 30 seconds to a minute to be able to catch it, but you need to focus on those key messages and get them out there quickly. Yeah. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. The last thing I would ask you, second to last question I have for you is, as you look at our career field as a whole, what do you think is the most rewarding part about being a public affairs professional or a communicator?
I think it's just the ability to learn and know a lot about everything else, to be honest with you. I feel like as Coast Guard public affairs specialist, I knew a little bit about the boatswain's mates, I knew a little bit about the aviation world, I knew a little bit about the machinery technicians. I wasn't an expert in all of that. I was an expert in my job, but I was able to showcase what those people were doing and tell it in a creative way and just be like, here you go, public, here you go, government affairs. This is what we're doing. This is why the Coast Guard is awesome. And this is what you need to know.
That's awesome. Famous last question I would have for you. Thank you so much for all your time, but we touch this to all of our students. It's our famous last question. Is there anything that you would like to add that I haven't asked you?
Oh, that's always a famous last question. That's right. That's what we teach everybody here, right? Yeah. I would just like to say that being in public affairs, whether you're DOD or the Coast Guard, I think is probably one of the best jobs in the world, because this is a very important job that we have. When I first started at, I was like, yeah, this is an important job. And it kind of like, as I got through the years and, you know, Coast Guard is just so much to do. I was like, oh, I'm a little burnt out, which is why I went recruiting. But it's an important job. And I want people to understand and realize that we have to do this job and we have to do it really well to be able to tell the story. We have to do it. We have to be transparent. We have to do it in a timely manner. And we got to do it the best way possible, so therefore the people understand, you know, whoever your audience is, they understand what your goal is, and they're getting the message across, and hopefully it comes through that way.
Wise words.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Master Chief. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
Thanks for joining us.